Welcome to the Be Curious podcast, the podcast that champions solutions to some of the world's biggest problems. I'm your host, Louise Houghton, and on each episode, we get curious about a different subject, from the food we eat and the clothes we wear to ocean plastic and overflowing landfills. All of our guests have brilliant minds and innovative ideas to ensure that we're able to live a more sustainable, conscious, and pollutant-free life. And the best part is that this podcast is not just about listening. It's about building a community and connecting like-minded individuals who are curious about what they can do to make alternative choices and enhance their lives and the longevity of our planet. If you're already curious and you want to potentially win some of the sustainable products or services gifted to us by our many guests on the show, then head over to Instagram where you'll find out more information about our giveaways. To enter, all you need to do is go to @becurious_podcast. Today, we're getting curious about your local. Now, you can go for a drink and listen to some live music in many a place around the world. But what about going to somewhere where you can also shop for sustainable and fair trade products and sip and listen at the same time? And what if all of that sipping actually happened to be alcohol free? Well, here to tell us more about The Wellist, which is based in Long Beach in California, is Brandy Andres. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me. This is a pleasure to be here with you.
And we have some products from your store that we're going to get to try a little bit later on, along with talking about a wonderful giveaway that you have for our listeners. Yeah. But before we dive into that, tell me a bit more about The Wellist and what people can expect if they go down to you.
Yeah. It's like a non-alcoholic bottle shop meets lounge, if I will. And basically, it's a place where really people can come and experience the botanical, alcohol-free beverages. I have been told that I have the largest selection of spirits-free beverages south of LA in Southern California. So that's pretty exciting. And then I also have the little lounge. So it's a place for people to come and sit and have the beverages chilled. And, you know, you can like read a book or you can, you know, bring your computer or whatnot.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, so why did you decide that you wanted to open The Wellist back in 2020 or was it 2019 even?
So actually, it goes back a bit further than that where I first ideated the concept. But where it started really was I was experiencing a number of health issues. So I was having, and this is actually going to go into where it's not just a non-alcoholic beverage location. So I was having skin issues with a number of the skincare products that I was using, traditional skincare products I was using.
What kind of skin issues, if you don't mind sharing?
So it just, out of nowhere, my skin just started, like I started getting inflammation. Mm-hmm. I would wake up in the morning and my eyes would be shut, like fully swollen and shut, where I could hardly open them up. They itched. They were painful. And this kind of went on and on for months. And no one could tell me what was going on. I essentially had to start just kind of process of elimination, reducing the products that I was using. So I got an ingredients dictionary and, you know, I looked at all of the fine print with my glasses to figure out, you know, what does this word mean and what is it there for? So really just learning about, you know, all of the different preservatives and, you know, the different things that they put into skincare products. Interestingly,
just a side note on that, but it just came to my mind. You know, you'll often hear if you see ingredients on a food, you know, on a package or something like that, if there's things that are unrecognizable on there, that means don't eat it. Right. But when you think about skincare, we absorb all of that into our skins just in the same way. It's going into our body just in a different way. Yeah. But, you know, we don't know what half the ingredients are when you look at the back of a sunscreen bottle.
Yes, it's very true. And, you know, a lot of them, interestingly enough, are the scientific names for like vitamin E or whatnot, but you don't know that because the way that, you know, consumers look at ingredients, if if it's just like a foreign word or some scientific word, we're not generally going to look it up and to figure out what that's all about. Like if it says vitamin E, then great. That's what we assume it is. So one of the reasons why I actually started getting into even looking at ingredients in general wasn't just because of my skincare issue. So I had taken a course on animal and plant taxonomy and conservation. I'm an animal lover, and I wanted to know more about just, you know, really even like how life is created, I guess, in some ways.
And all of the testing on animals and things.
Yeah, and testing and just trying to understand, you know, why like so many animals are, you know, joining the endangered list and those sorts of things. And one of the stories that I had learned about in that class was the demise of orangutans. And it was specific to the palm oil trade. I remember in the class, like out of nowhere, just started like bawling tears. I'm like, oh my gosh, is anybody looking at me? You know, because I'm just like, wow, this just moved me so much. It moved me so much because I had no idea potentially a soap that I was using, or well, even like just a hand soap, or maybe a food that I was eating could have actually, you know,
altered this animal's life.
And not just a few animals, like hundreds of thousands of animals. And
because of all the deforestation
exactly.
for the palm oil?
Exactly. Brands are not telling us what they're putting, you know, in the fragrance label. Like what is in something that actually claims that it's just fragrance?
Where did it come from?
Where did it come
from? How did it get there?
Exactly.
Yeah. How was it made?
Yeah.
You know, what was sacrificed to make this
ingredient?
Right.
And we don't think about that on a day-to-day basis. And so I think just all of that kind of combined at the same time, I was taking this class. Within just a few months of one another, I started having the issues with my own skincare. I also started having issues with my blood sugar. I was like having hypoglycemic attacks, which had never happened in my life. So it was just a culmination of numerous things that were happening, like in, you know, in my mind and in like my life and in my body. Yeah. So I started this entire journey thinking about what kind of products, you know, do I want to switch out? And skincare was obviously one of them. Foods, you know, that was another, household cleaning products, that kind of stuff. And
when you start diving into that, you start going down a rabbit hole and saying, oh, well, it's in the clothes that we wear and the jewelry that
yes.
we put on. And there's so many different kind of chemicals and toxins in not just my skincare that might be affecting my eyes being
right.
itchy.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, this was back in like 2015. So it was really when clean beauty, the concept of clean beauty was relatively new. I mean, not to say that natural, you know, beauty products weren't out there on the market. I mean, Whole Foods was around back then. That was pre-Amazon. And so, you know, of course, there were people who were shopping like that, and there were brands that were making the products. But, you know, the widely known understanding of phthalates and parabens and all of those things that are now words that most people are familiar with, that wasn't really thrown around as much at that point. So, you know, it was a lot of research. It took a lot of research for me because I didn't come from that industry. I wasn't in beauty.
And resources weren't available to
exactly.
you in the same way.
Yeah. Mm. And I was working a full-time job. So.
So at what point did you say, okay, I'm going to quit this job and I'm going to open the Wellist?
So in 2019, that's around the time that I had decided that I was going to open the Wellist. And originally it was going to be like a modern mercantile general store, you know, of all of the things that we put on our body, you know, that we put in our body and you know, maybe that we give as gifts. So I had planned for 2020, May approximately. Of course.
The world had a different idea.
The world had a different idea. Yes, yes.
Well, before we talk about the pivot and how you are now, let's just continue to stay on this conversation about the products and mm-hmm. things like that, because yeah. you stock a lot of sustainable products and yeah. fair trade products as well. Can you name a few of the brands that you particularly like?
Sure. So Salt and Stone is one that's become really popular. And it was one of the very first products and brands that I had, which is great because they've like just grown exponentially over the past few years. I also like Earth Harbor. Earth Harbor, they give back 5% to save ocean species, which I love. Mm-hmm. So most of the brands that I carry will be vegan. However, all of them are cruelty-free. So that's one of the things that I want to make sure that there's, you know, no known harm to animals in the making of the products. So what else? Those are skincare products. I also have Honua Hawaiian Beauty is... it's amazing. The owner and founder is from Hawaii. She works with Hawaiian farmers. I am Hawaiian, so that feels yeah. good to me to be able to give back in some way to, you know, build up the culture and give back to the
where you
the
came
makers.
From.
Yeah. So that's on that side. And then like sustainable side, home goods. I love beeswrap food wraps.
Oh yes, they're great.
They're so good. I love the look that, you know, when people learn about them, because I've done pop-ups, and then, you know, when they look at these sort of little waxy things are like, what is this? You know, and I explained to them it's to replace your single use plastics. And those ones are a big hit just because it's like, wow, they seem expensive because it's like, what, $8, $9, $10, whatever for one piece of cloth. But if you think about it over time, the box of plastic wrap
yeah.
or, you know, plastic bags that you buy, okay, so maybe those are cheaper for the first, you know, the first buy, but you're constantly throwing them away and you're constantly, you know, having to buy new packs. And
it takes a couple of months for it to actually not be cost effective.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm still using my beeswax wrap like more than almost 2 years later,
yeah.
you know, if you take good care of them.
I probably have mine over 5.
Wow, amazing. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
I did have one person who did the dishes for me on one occasion,
yeah.
and they cleaned it and cleaned it and cleaned it so much it was a bit of cloth and there was no wax
left
on it.
Right.
I think they understood what they were.
Yes, I definitely have to let people know, you know, when they're buying them, do not wash it in hot water because it is wax and wax melts. So just that reminder, you know. So I love that brand.
There's some great sustainable products that you have, though. I also have a dish bar soap
yeah,
from you,
yeah.
which is brilliant.
Nice.
And
yeah,
that
was No Tox Life, I believe, probably. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, there's some products like that where I think people just don't realize that there's an alternative, like a shampoo bar, for example, rather
right.
than a bottle of shampoo.
Yeah.
And then having this dish bar of soap that you can actually just use with a scrubbing brush as opposed to having a bottle again that you
yeah.
need to put onto the brush. So many different just alternative solutions to single-use plastic or to, as you say, like all the other toxins
yeah.
and things that we're finding within these products anyway. Are there any other products that you want to mention?
One of my favorite things, and I know that, you know, maybe we can talk about this a little bit later because we have some drinking to do, but I really have become completely enamored with the alcohol-free beverage industry.
Mm-hmm.
So I have tons of brands that I can share with you for that as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes. Love to hear more about those. And just to highlight too that, you know, if people are interested in looking at products that are, you know, sustainable and products that are toxic free. There are now apps and things that are available. You didn't have them when you were doing all your research, but there are things like EWG Health Living, which I use primarily to always check out if I'm going to buy a shampoo or something like that to see what kind of ingredients are in it.
Yeah.
Are there any other resources that you can recommend?
So EWG was one of them in 2019 that I leaned into quite a bit.
And how do you find the different products to stock in your store? Do people come to you or do you go outsourcing?
It is a little bit of both. When I first started, it was really just me ringing brands up and saying, hey, I'm starting this business. Would you please, let me carry your brand? But then after a while, I had the website, thewellestlife.com. And I really just started to, get brands reaching out to me. And I think it's just the more I kind of was out there and the more I was in that industry and really, communicating on podcasts or whatnot, the reason why this was all really important. I somehow people found me. I actually don't know how that works, or how that worked.
But that's great.
It's great. It's great. Yeah. And hopefully word of mouth.
Yes. And what about the consumers then? How easy is it to convince the consumer to switch to something that's more sustainable or that doesn't have single-use plastic around it?
So I think sometimes it's a little bit trickier. And also, again, because what I had mentioned before about the price. I think the price tag sometimes scares people off because, you look at, if I'm using, let's just say, a regular deodorant that I buy at the grocery store is maybe, $4, $5. I'm just guesstimating at this point because I haven't bought a traditional deodorant in quite some time. But you look at that price tag as opposed to a deodorant that's $18 or $20. And, there's just that sticker shock. So that, I think, is one of the first barriers to anyone really taking that leap. And then also because the industry, like I had mentioned, in 2015, it was still very new. Fast forward maybe to 2019, more people were trying it. Target now, Target and the grocery stores have quote unquote clean options. So there are people who will okay, I've heard about it. Let me try it. And then they buy a deodorant and they hate it. And they're like, great, I just spent $20 on something that I'm never going to use again. So there is, I think, that difficulty with the cost. And actually, interestingly enough, I think it was just yesterday or something I saw, the higher income a person has, the less likely they are to buy sustainable.
Oh, interesting.
Which is fascinating because, I hear I'm talking about the fact that there's the sticker shock. So you would think somebody who has less money would be concerned about buying, paying for the more expensive item. However, I think that, maybe at the higher the income, the less they're concerned about, they can buy all of the things that they want. I have no idea where that comes from. I didn't, look into it much more, but I thought that was really fascinating.
To give people with a higher income the benefit of the doubt, could it be something maybe those people have got high powered jobs and they're all on a C-suite level and they actually just haven't done the research and haven't had time to dive into kind of the same topics as maybe other people have? Not to say that people on a lower income are not working just as hard. They just don't have the same, level. I don't know. I'm just snowball ideas with you here.
Make some sense out of that that research. It's probably my bad for not even remembering what the article had come from. It was because it's not something that I had ever heard before. And that's mostly because, when I'm speaking to guests that come into my shop, generally the challenge is, the sticker shock, and trying to explain that, you know, if you're using the deodorants now, and just going back to deodorants, I remember when I was using traditional deodorants, I was probably going through them, you know, like probably a new one, like once every month and a half or something like that. Whereas once I switched over to the natural deodorant, it was lasting me 6 months. So, you know, like, so if you start to compare that, you know, that initial cost to the long-term cost.
Yeah. Say over a year even.
Right. Same thing like what we were talking about with the beeswrap, you know, that it starts, you start to like realize, okay, over time, I'm actually saving, or I'm, you know, whether or not you're saving or you're spending on par with what you were doing before.
You got to think about the longevity of the product, and you also think about the you know, the lifetime.
Right.
The lifespan on it as well. And so are all of your products listed on your website?
They are, yes. Yeah.
So people can buy there and actually maybe pre-order or you know, do an online order or something as well?
Yes. Yeah. So I sell on the website. I also, you can buy on Instagram and Facebook, I believe, at The Wellest Life. And which was also the name of my podcast.
And the website is thewellestlife.com.
Thewellestlife.com, yes.
So let's go back to the journey then. Okay. That moment in 2020 when you realized that things were not going to be going just to plan.
Yes.
What did you do?
So interestingly enough, I had the meeting with my lawyer on Toilet Paper Mageddon. And I like to say that just because it sounds so strange now. But... But yeah, I was sort of running around. My mom was like, go to the store, you know, and I'm running around and, oh my gosh, I forgot that I have this like big meeting for this big business that I want to start, and had to go out into the car and, you know, make the phone call. But yeah, I mean, I had to figure out what does my business look like now? I didn't have a website. The idea was that I was going to open the store and be able to build the website while I was working at the shop. So it was going to be a slow kind of rollout of the website. So I like went through a number. I made like a list of all the different variations of what my business could be. I had been in creative production. I had many times wanted to work on podcasts or do a podcast. So I thought, well, I'm at home. I have the equipment here at home. I have a computer. I have the room. And then now I just have to find the guests. And so started a podcast called The Wellest Life. And it was all about bringing sustainable lifestyles to your experience. And that didn't just mean sustainability in the way that we think of sustainability, the keyword sustainability. But it was also like, how are you living a life that's going to sustain you, that's going to help you thrive? And, you know,
just, is this podcast still going now?
So it's on hiatus, but I would like to bring it back. So this is actually like a great inspiration for me.
Happy to inspire you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So this started with the podcast.
Yes.
And then you decided to do the events when things started opening up?
Or? Yes. So I interviewed someone who just so happened to be doing an event. And she said, oh, if you'd like to set up a table, I would love to have you. You can, you know, talk about the podcast. And I said, could I potentially sell product? And she's like, absolutely. So that was my first sales event was popping up. And I had five brands that I worked with at the time. I think the couple of that I mentioned, Earth Harbor and Salt and Stone, were two of my first brands that I started working with. It went so well. And then I started doing those consistently. And then I started building out. I went back to work and I started full time and I started building the website. I launched the website in 2021 and then just kind of kept going from there and working full time and doing this as a side hustle, you know, shipping out products to people all across the U.S. Throughout 2021 and 2022.
And this is one of your products that we have here.
It is.
Tell us what we've got here in front of us.
So this is Three Spirit is one of my favorite non-alcoholic bottle brands. It's a functional. So a functional, the way that I like to express them is they're beverages where additional supplements or botanicals are added to the ingredients that give you some sort of boost or additional benefit. So the thing that I like about this one, this is the Three Spirit Spark. It's Blurred Vines, I think is what they call it.
Yeah, it says like wine, not wine, Blurred Vines.
Yes, it's their wine alternative. And the ingredients in there, so they have Guayusa, which is an antioxidant and anti-inflammatory. It's also good for digestion. There's L-theanine, which helps to relieve stress. It's also good for cognitive function. And then Shisandra berry is an amazing ingredient, and that is for concentration, motivation, memory. So, and there's like a natural caffeine in there as well with the green tea, and there's black tea.
A healthy drink.
The healthy wine.
A healthy wine.
Right? Like no alcohol. And it doesn't... The
party
thing,
in a glass, it says.
There you go. Well, that's why I brought it.
Chill, pop, and find your spark. Well, we already popped it. Shall we hear that little glug?
Sure.
Do you want to do it, seeing as it's yours?
Oh, boy.
You pour.
Let's see.
Sounds good.
That's a lot of fizz. Let's see.
I could have got us wine glasses. I wasn't sure what to expect. Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you so much for bringing it.
Of course. That's so nice.
Oh, it's very refreshing.
It is. It is.
Perfect for all this talking.
Yeah. I know.
Thank you for bringing that along. And this is actually going to be part of the giveaway that you've got for all of our listeners today.
It is.
Tell us more what you'd like to give away.
So I'm giving away, Three Spirit has five different products. They have two in the Blurred Vines category, so the alternative wine. One is the Spark here that we just poured, which is kind of like their rosé sort of vibe. And then they also have the other functionals, which are like sort of spirit alternatives, but they're more in my mind like a botanical sort of vibe, because they don't taste like any of the spirits. Like it's not going to taste like a gin or whatnot. So those are the Nightcap, the Social, and the Livener.
Okay.
And so I'm giving away full bottles of all five of them. It's about $170 worth of product. And this really is one of my favorite brands. When people come into the shop, I like to give free tastings. And this brand is always one of them that I try to have open.
That's a really generous gift. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really happy to be sharing this with our listeners. So if you want to enter the competition to win this fantastic set, then all you need to do is go to becurious_podcast, and then you'll find all the information there linked with the Wellist as well. So you can check out the competition and see how you can enter on Instagram. Thank you again. It tastes really great. I just love how refreshing it is. Are they all caffeinated, or is a lot of these?
No, they're not. No. Okay. This one is. And this is also vegan. It's this is one of the other things that I really love about the non-alcoholic category. And I'm talking like sophisticated sort of adult non-alcoholic beverages, not like, obviously Coca-Cola is non-alcoholic, but you know, a lot of them are low to zero sugar, same thing with the carbs, same thing with the calories. This one is vegan. It's also sulfite free and gluten free.
And you can see also it's got, you know, vitamin C in it, potassium, magnesium, vitamin B12. You know, there's so many other amazing qualities that drinking this would actually give to you.
So yes,
it will benefit you in many different ways other than just enjoyment.
Absolutely.
And so this is just one of the others. You said you had a couple of brands that you'd like to mention within the non-alcoholic range. Yeah. So what are the other ones that you sell and you love?
So one of the other ones that I love is the Pathfinder. It's hemp-based. It has wormwood and it's just angelica root. It's like...
When you say hemp, do you mean it's CBD or something?
No. It's hemp-based, but it doesn't have CBD. So it just, it like kind of helps just relax. Mm. Like just kind of chill, but not like CBD. That's the thing about these functionals is that they just kind of like calm you.
I can imagine that that would be really relaxing as well. If you were coming into the Wellist, you were sitting down, you were listening to some live music or just reading a book, as you were saying. But live music is one thing that you like to do a lot of in the Wellist. How did that come about?
Yeah. So my initial concept when I first sort of was planning to open in 2020, I wanted to make sure that I had a community space and the retail. So my goal was to find a place that would be able to house both, like sort of, you know, large enough, maybe with a divider or something like that, because it was really important that I was able to bring people in to experience the Wellist lifestyle, you know, to really experience like what it means to kind of just be there with people, like to socialize, to, you know, to get off your phone, to enjoy everything, you know, that life has to offer, and to know that, you know, like you're kind of maybe walking out with the clean beauty or the non-alcoholic beverages.
I love it when you go into a shop, actually, and you can just sit down, you know, have a cup of coffee on a chair that you could also buy.
Right.
So that kind of idea of having all the products all around you at the same time as just being in the space and enjoying, it might actually offer a way to kind of upsell people, because you're like, oh, you like the mug that this coffee is in? Well, you can buy it if you want to.
Yeah.
You know, and so people get to experience it in the way that you were just saying before about the deodorant, in a whole new way that they weren't able to do otherwise.
Exactly.
Yeah. So why did you feel that you wanted to specialize in non-alcoholic drinks? You don't drink alcohol yourself, do you?
I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I do, yes. Okay. I think that's another thing that I really want to get across for the non-alcoholic sort of category is that, and of course I've had, you know, a variety of people who've come in for different reasons, specifically looking for non-alcoholic beverages or are interested in tasting. So, you know, I've had people who are like 20 years sober, others who like just decided to stop drinking 6 months ago.
Maybe they're pregnant.
Right. It could be that, or it could be they've just chosen to, you know, like they want to work out and they want, you know, they felt that maybe alcohol was adding some pounds and they, you know, don't want that.
Whatever they're eating tomorrow. Right. I don't want to drink tonight.
Right. Yeah. Whatever their reason are, maybe on medications that they, you know, really shouldn't be drinking and they want still the flavor of the rum or whatnot. So across the board, there are so many different reasons why somebody might come in. What I love is when someone's open to, even if they are, if they do consider themselves a drinker, that they're open to trying the beverages, because I definitely find that people are shocked when they taste like the functionals, or when they taste the like, let's say, a margarita with a zero proof tequila. Many people, when I give them like samples of an actual mixed mocktail with the zero proof tequila, are like, wow, I would not know the difference. If you didn't tell me there was no alcohol in here, I would not know the difference. I have a great non-alcoholic Chardonnay that's, it's beautiful. It's from Germany, and it kind of sits on the palate the same way that a Chardonnay would. It's just as good as a traditional, like in flavor wise, it's just as good as many of the Chardonnays that I've tried.
Interesting. And made in Germany, is it sweet?
No, it's not. It does have a dryness to it. It's sort of full bodied. I don't know. It's just beautiful. Like, it's beautiful.
We're going to have to try.
I know. Sorry, I didn't bring that one today. And actually, because I do like Chardonnay, like, I did go and try a number of Chardonnays before I brought one into the store, because I know that, you know, certain people are very particular about their flavors.
And do you find that you have regulars?
I do. Yes, for sure. And it's great. I have one girl who is a DJ. She DJs after hours parties. And she said she drinks, but doing an after hours party as a DJ, she said, I can't drink when I'm going to work because, you know, I wouldn't be able to function at 2 a.m. when I'm, you know, continuing to like have to lift up the party. So she will come in and she'll buy some of the functionals because it still will give her a little bit of kind of a vibe. Yeah, I have another customer who he said he used to drink a nice glass of bourbon every night with the big rock in the bourbon glass. And he said, you know, he just started to find that he wasn't sleeping well while doing that. So he had discovered Three Spirit Nightcap, and it has like a very nice, just kind of subtle flavor, but it's also calming and
it's got that
smooth,
warmth and smokiness that maybe might be wanting from a bourbon.
Exactly. Yeah. So he poured it in the same glass that he would have his bourbon in with the same kind of rock ice. And
I said we should have had wine glasses
here.
I didn't realize we were drinking a wine.
Yeah. And he said he had never slept as well.
Oh,
so
amazing.
So that's what he does. Midweek, he'll go and he'll drink the nightcap instead of his bourbon. And on the weekends, he'll go ahead and, you know, go back and have like a nice glass of bourbon. But I really would like to have people walk away from listening to this and to realize that there's so much out there to offer for the non-alcoholic and even like that. No, maybe it's like alcohol free.
It's just an alternative.
Yeah, spirits free.
Yeah. I think it, you know, as you said, it's not that you don't want to drink or have a non-alcoholic drink. It's just you don't want to do that every night.
Right.
I was even hearing that there was, you know, a big increase in alcohol sales during the pandemic. And then since the pandemic, you know, they've really come back down again. So like been a 9% decrease in this last year or so. And so I think people are just becoming more conscious of alternatives and just call it that if it's nothing
true.
Else, you know, just an alternative that, you know, we don't need to put our liver under so much strain all the time or something. People taking, you know, alternative choices that might benefit themselves a little bit.
Absolutely. You know, yeah.
Better.
But I would love, and this is also why I'm expanding my business, I would love to be able to help more restaurants and bars carry these beverages, because I would love to be able to go into a restaurant on a night that I just don't feel like having alcohol and say, I would like your Naughty Blanc. And no one around me would know the difference of what Naughty is versus, you know, whatever other brand of traditional wine would be.
It's giving you the choice.
It is.
Yeah. I often go in and have water in a wine glass.
Yeah.
So water, no ice in a wine glass. So people think I'm drinking a white wine.
Yeah.
You know, it's dark. They can't see.
Yeah.
But it makes me feel nice too. The whole, you know, a wine glass with this nice stem that's very feminine rather than a pint glass, which they'll often give you if you ask for water.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's the ritual. It really is. When I talk to so many people, a lot of it is the ritual of just, what do you do when you go out to dinner? You order a glass of wine. What do you do when you go to like a wedding? You know, it's like the champagne toast. What do you do? Like, there's so many times that just societally we've been sort of
conditioned.
Yeah.
And there's always another way.
There
and that's
is.
What we do here on the podcast, is just get curious about alternatives. So
absolutely.
I really am glad that you've shared this with us today.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to start, or I am, not only doing the wholesale distribution to get more restaurants and bars to carry the beverages, but I'm also doing events. Basically, the in-shop events that I've been having, the in-lounge events I've been having with the live music, I've also been taking my, what I'm calling Bar None. It's like a nice, fun little name that I came up with it, to do offsite events. So I'm now offering the pop-up bar experience at corporate events, at weddings, at birthdays, at whatnot. Anybody who is looking for in the Long Beach, LA area, Orange County area,
yeah,
who's looking for an actual bar service that serves some of these beautiful beverages.
People, where can people find out about these events?
So everything would be on Instagram. At least you can go to the Instagram link in bio, and I will generally post everything there. That's Instagram is The Wellest Life, and also go to my website, which is also thewellestlife.com.
And Instagram is also where we'll be telling everybody more about our giveaway that we have with The Wellest at the moment. So check out becurious_podcast if you want to find out how you can get your hands on $170 worth of amazing non-alcoholic product, or spirit-free, as we're calling it now after today. Thank you so much for bringing some with us. I'm going to cheers and drink the rest of it with you now. Maybe not all of it, but thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been so lovely to talk to you and hear so much about what you're doing. And if you liked today's episode, then please like, subscribe, share, follow, and come back for another one. We'll be back with the Be Curious podcast again very soon. Until then, I'm Louise Houghton, and stay curious.